Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Mini Crush Monday with Noel Brown and Charles W. Chuck Bryant in the hot seat. What's your hot take?
Hello, Chuck. I'm lukewarm this morning. I don't really have any hot takes. Wait a minute. Hold on. The royal family is weird.
Makes for good
and
TV,
purely
though, right?
Symbolic, and they don't actually do anything to affect policy or governance of the United Kingdom.
Noel, hot are take. You saying that it is an antiquated system and they should just get rid of the royals already?
A little bit. People like them, though, man. Brits are weird. Like, the old moneyed Brits, like, mm-hmm. the legacy, businessy, you know, imperial kind of Brits are very strange. I mean, obviously, a lot of amazing progressive human beings in the UK, but as a country and as a system, there's some weirdness there. We go over it in Stuff They Don't Want You to Know all the mm-hmm. time, and just discussed all the stuff that's been happening with Meghan Markle and the kind of low-key shaded racism, you
sure.
know, being lobbed at her, and like, you know, their non-attention to mental health that extends as far back as, you know, generations, but also like with Diana, she needed mental health assistance, and they basically swept that out of the carpet, and look what happened there. Sorry, I don't know why I'm talking about the royals at the top. This is just my hot take. You asked me for a hot take, Chuck. It's going to get hot.
I love okay? it, man. I watched that interview. We're into it. We love the crown. We're some of those Americans that are not royals obsessed, but we're into those stories, man. And I thought that racism thing was not surprising. And you know, of course, they're like, we're not racist. Whereas I think what they should be saying is, we're not overtly racist.
It's, how about
it's more like,
on our racism.
But about that bloodline, that's not racist if we want it really white, is it?
Pure like, as the driven yeah, snow.
Sort of is.
No, there was a story in The Crown. You've seen The Crown all the way through, yes?
All the way through, okay. Yes.
So there's a story that comes up about, I believe it was Elizabeth's developmentally disabled sisters or cousins or something, and they essentially yeah. said they were dead. And just like put
yeah,
them in exile
yeah, yeah.
in this like creepy, you know, what they would call in those days a sanatorium. Now we call a mental health facility or whatever. But
sure.
They called it that because they were horrible places and they were not clean. The methods of treatment were very barbaric. And apparently mm-hmm. these royal, you know, cousins were just kind of trundled off there and claimed to have been dead. And then it turns out they were not at all dead. And that's sort of a benchmark for the way the royal family treats mental health issues.
Yeah, I mean, the Kennedys did the same thing. They had a...
That's right.
There was a Kennedy sister that went away as well. You know what I mean?
I do. And weren't the Grey Gardens sisters related to the Kennedys distantly in some way? The Grey Gardens sisters? Little Anne, little Phoebe, little whatever her name was? You know, the
yeah,
ones.
They were... great documentary. They were, yes, they were relatives of... I think it was Edie Bouvier Beale. I think they were Jackie's original family because Jackie was a Bouvier
That's
previous
right.
to being a Kennedy and an Onassis. So
yeah. There's a headline I found, Fox News, grain of salt this, but Jackie Kennedy Onassis was horrified of recluse aunt cousin living in crumbling Grey Gardens. Book claims.
By the way, Noel, you got trounced for your Goodfellas.
You know, look, and the sad thing is I could have claimed I hadn't seen it in years, but I'd literally just rewatched it.
I forgot they went to Florida, too.
I forgot they went to Florida.
I've seen that movie a dozen times or more.
It was a blip. And the reason I started thinking, you know, and neither one of us could place where exactly the whole movie was supposed to take place. We did determine that it was Brooklyn, I believe, in the episode at some point.
I don't know.
People jumped all over me.
I got to say, Austin Handler and Ethan Yavin, Anastasio, you guys can shove it.
Hey,
I'm gonna bring that back. Shove it.
Shove it. Yeah. What did Bart Simpson used to say? Eat my shorts.
Eat our collective shorts, Noel.
Indeed.
Mine and yours shorts.
Shorts in that context, would that mean like my short pants or like underwear?
I think eat my shorts means underwear.
I think you're probably right. That would be more gross.
Eat my cargo pants.
eat the large, oversized pockets of my cargo pants that hold, and all their contents
that hold four beers.
Yes, and a hammer.
So Noel, it is pouring down rain right now. Thank God, because Atlanta is having the week of yellow pollen, and now there are yellow rivers running down the streets of Atlanta.
My dear, dear friend Harry is visiting me, and he is the sweetest house guest. He literally went out and swept the pollen out of my carport without even, I didn't see, you know, he just did it. And then the very next day, yellow.
Yeah.
All over
again.
Don't
bother.
All over again.
You got to wait for that rain. I saw a line of cars outside the car wash, like 60 cars waiting to get through. I was like, what are you doing? Why bother?
Mm-hmm.
Let your car be yellow for a week, then it goes away. A week and a half or so. It's not a long the pollen count is high, but the yellow stuff, it's only for a week or two.
Do you think that Coldplay song is about life in the South?
So yellow.
And it was all yellow.
Coldplay. Pollen. I liked one of those albums back in the day.
That's the one. No, that's the one. Parachutes. That's a good record.
I liked A Cold Rush of Blood to the Head. Is that the name of it?
That was the next one, I think.
That one was pretty good, too.
That one had clocks on it. That one's good, too. Those were two good back-to-backs.
I think I ended up just wanting to kind of face punch Chris Martin for various reasons.
He's got a very punchable face.
And it's probably not fair.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a lovely man, but he just, something about him and like the way he's just constantly grinning and just showing all his teeth, you know, I don't know, something about that.
He's a little too happy for my taste.
A little too happy for my taste, too. And also they named their daughter Apple, which bothers me. I don't know why that bothers me.
I don't know. People.
The name Apple.
We don't want to yuck their yum, Noel. People can name their kids. They might think your daughter's name is dumb.
They might.
And now they'll get a face punch and they can eat our collective shorts.
Yeah. It'd be fun to name a kid like Sandwich or something, though, you know?
Sandwich Brown.
Apple and Sandwich. And then Fruit Cup.
Fruit Cup. How about I'm going to have another kid, Noel. We're going to adopt another son and I'm going to name him Lunchable Bryant.
Chuck, I have to make a confession on the podcast really quickly.
Okay.
I may have, I have a 9 a.m. early call every 2 weeks, and I may have accidentally fallen asleep for about a minute and a half
during today's,
and I think people may have heard me snore once or twice. I don't know this for a fact.
That's great.
But I'm fishing for it with, like, you know, kind of probbing texts that like about other things. So like, so everything's cool, right?
Tell them it's the pollen. You can blame everything on pollen right now.
I think I could probably do that, Chuck. It's also like, come on. If it hasn't happened yet in this world of COVID, I think I'd probably get one pass for one call snooze, right?
One call snooze.
At 9 a.m.
If you ever fall asleep on a mini crush, you're fired from the job that pays you nothing.
Okay, that's fair. No, this is my prestige. This is the prestige part of the job.
What we're going to do this week is we're going to do, because we usually have a longer catch up when we don't talk for a couple of weeks like we just did, and episode one of two that we're recording, we're going to go with a movie crusher post from the great Patrick Gorman, who always brings the goods. And then we're going to do stream this because I have quite a few little things to talk about.
Same.
So let's get it fired up. Sir Gorman said this, Noel. You wake up in the last movie you watched. Mm. What do you do first and how's your day looking? I drank too much last night and watched The Last Waltz again and stopped making sense again.
Wow.
So I'm in one of those movies. Those count as movies.
Are you on stage? Are you in the band? Literally the band? Or are you in the Talking Heads? Or are you just like a happy spectator?
I mean, unfortunately, I think I'm a spectator. But, you know, my concert time machine answer is always Last Waltz. Like, if you could go to any show at any time, it would be at that show at Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco in 1976.
That'd be
76?
Cool.
So yeah, that's where I am. So my day's going great. And awesome. What do you do first? The first thing I do is sniff around, see if anybody's holding nearby me.
Exactly.
Go get a beer.
Yeah, give Neil Young a heads up on that big old rock of cocaine hanging out of his nose.
Yeah, the coke booger. Had to tell Emily about that. I had to Google a picture of it.
Because they took it out, right?
Or they took it out.
They took it out.
Like frame by frame, I think they had to.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. I think they got George Lucas on that, you know?
What's the last movie you watched, Noel? Where are you waking up today?
Full movie I watched. Oh, that Snyder Cut, baby.
Oh,
watch that Snyder Cut. Yeah.
Well, put a pin in that for stream this then.
Yep, we'll do.
Quite a few people actually watched the Snyder Cut last, because I'm looking down the list here. And Genesis Chapman, welcome to the show, Genesis, says, damn it, I guess that Zack Snyder's Justice League thing, I'm living in a gray nightmare hellscape.
My world is entirely in slow motion. Everything is just lightning bolts flickering, and I'm trying to get to the fridge, but I'm reaching for it. I heard
there's like 25 minutes of slow-mo.
It's unbelievable, dude. It's laughable. We'll get into it. I overall quite enjoyed the film, but there are some Zack Snyderisms that have always bugged me, and it is on full blast in this thing.
I don't know about that guy.
Not a huge fan.
He keeps getting these big movies, though, and
he knows how to make them, like he makes them, but I just don't like the way he makes them.
Well, he knows how to finish the film and get it released, you mean?
He just has this aesthetic that he's been using it since that 300, and 300 did really well. And so, you know, he did a Watchmen movie that was fine, but I just wasn't hugely into his aesthetic.
Yeah, agreed. Let me see here. Nick Kelly says RoboCop 2, so I'll probably get murdered by criminals. Sure.
Instantly. Mm-hmm. Or by killer robots.
Gorman himself says the Snyder Cut. Day's looking pretty bleak, so I'm going straight down to party in Atlantis.
Atlantis does seem like the most chill of the bunch. You know, they've got their whole world kind of, I don't know, they got a good vibe. I like them. The Atlanteans?
Let me see here. Michael Orman says, does Into the Spider-Verse count? Of course it does. You can wake up in that movie. Yeah, but Michael doesn't say what's going on there.
It was only say what he's doing?
He says this, it was only 10 minutes until I realized that it was Thursday night, not Friday. I'm not sure what Michael's saying. I'm sorry, Michael.
That's okay.
Explain yourself.
Yes, please. Clarify.
Andy Kepler says, Fugazi instrument, so things are looking pretty good for me.
Nice. Was that like a documentary?
I guess. I didn't know there was a Fugazi documentary. I got to see that.
Yeah, I remember hearing the name of that. I like that instrument. That's great.
I used to love those guys.
Oh, film. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Documentary. Because the history of that band is so much about the history of like DC punk and hardcore and like kind of more political punk and hardcore. I'd love to see that. I don't know them super well, but they're one of the more melodic bands in that bunch. They actually have cool melodies, and they're not just screamy scream, which doesn't do it for me most.
Yeah, I used to love Fugazi back in the day in college. And what was the other band I used to Helmet. You remember Helmet?
Helmet was cool.
Helmet was fucking awesome.
Well, the drummer for Helmet went on to be in that band Battles, that was kind of like an electronic tinged sort of math rock band. And he does this thing when he plays live where he has one cymbal that's like 6 feet up in the air, and he has to reach up like with this one long arm and like, you know, hit it. It's sort of a gimmick, but I guess it's his thing. But it's
drummers it's do things like that sometimes. The drummer for Emily used to know, or I guess still does know, the two of the people in Silver Sun Pickups, when we were in LA before when they were just a very small little band in LA, she knew them because they worked like production jobs when Emily was a producer. And
that's so funny.
They ended up getting to be a much bigger band. And when my buddies, the Henry Clay people, rolled through town, they opened for the Silver Sun Pickups at the Tabernacle, got us backstage. And Emily, we got to say hi to the Silver Sun people. I think the bass player and maybe the lead singer or who she knew, but their drummer, long-winded story, had these crazy weird high cymbals, if I remember correctly. And I just didn't get it. Can you Google that?
Yeah. I actually am. And I wanted, it's funny that you say that. My buddy, Matthew Bazell, who is a filmmaker who lived in LA, lived next door to the bassist of the Silver Sun Pickups. And I played in a little band with him called Night People with Sean Eden from Luna.
Right.
And she did some guest vocals on a couple of songs that we did, like remotely or whatever. But her name is Nikki Moninger. And he lived next door to her somewhere in Los Feliz area. Los Feliz,
that's where we lived.
Okay, that's great.
Until we lived in Eagle Rock. I'm looking at this drummer. He has this one cymbal jacked up there like 7 feet high.
Wild.
Why do people do that? Why do drummers do weird things like that?
I don't know. I mean, it's very particular. Like, I have a drum kit here, and every time a different drummer sits on it, like, they always tend to tweak things just so slightly, like move the cymbals, the angle of the cymbals.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You know. Every time I set up the drum kit for my drummer when we move band spaces, he always comes in and just sort of pats me on the head and goes, "You're cute. Let me do it right."
I like a little height on the cymbals, though, because it's sort of about, like, you know, if you're really getting into it, you want to be able to kind of just like lunge and hit them. And so they need to have a little height to them, or else you'll accidentally hit them while you're hitting the toms or something.
Yeah, I hear you.
What else we got?
I got Daisy Christina Abreu, one of our old pals, says, she's putting on a little black dress and going to Tiffany's, unless it's Thursday, in which case she's heading to Sing Sing to get the weather report from Sally Tomato. Goodness me.
Sally Tomato? I don't know this character.
I don't either.
Okay.
One of our old pals, Caroline Gaston, says, finally got around to the trial of Chicago 7. I'll stand out since there were like three whole women in the movie. I haven't seen that one yet.
It does seem like it has some BDE in that movie.
What is BDE?
BD energy. Think about it. Manpower. BD.
Big dog?
Big dick.
Oh, geez. Noel, is that a thing?
Yeah, big dick energy is a thing. I just mean there's a lot of big, tough, posturing males in that movie trying to change the world. You know, that's the vibe I get.
All right.
How do you feel about What's-His-Face as Abbie Hoffman? Can you take him seriously as a serious actor?
I didn't see it.
But I mean, in general.
In general, sure. I'm all about him. Like, I think he probably is a really good actor. And it's not fair to say stuff like Borat isn't good acting, because, man, that's a hell of a disappearance he makes in those movies, you know?
Oh, completely. No, I agree with you.
I used to love that Ali G show back in the day. That was good.
It was great. It was great. Has he done a big movie with all the characters? Am I missing one? There's Ali G in The House, Borat, two of those, and then obviously the Bruno one. Was it just those three characters, or did he have a fourth one that I'm forgetting?
Those are the three that I remember.
I think those are the three main ones, yeah. Yeah. Brilliant comedian.
They're all three good. I love all three of those guys.
They're all fucking great. Yeah,
Bruno's so funny.
Yeah. The movie was, you know,
I don't think I saw it.
It wasn't as successful, but as a sketch or whatever, speaking of prank things, have you seen this new Eric Andre thing that's on Netflix called Bad Trip?
No. Crushers were talking about it.
I want to see it. Like, it's apparently sort of it's definitely in the spirit of Borat, where they're doing real things, or the characters are interacting with real people, and it's intermixed with, like, you know, scene type things that are written. But it sounds interesting. It sounds like a hybrid. It's from the director of Jackass, so I guess that all makes sense.
Hmm. Very interesting. I'll have to check that out. I do like Eric Andre. Nathan Nichols says, Manchester by the Sea, things are looking grim, to say the least. Oh, God,
yikes.
Yes.
Yikes.
William Angus is in Scream 2, so William is checking all the corners and looking behind all the doors.
2 is good. We talked about this. I think all the way through, like, 3, they were all pretty good, but, like, I think 1 and 2 were really my favorites.
Yeah, agreed. Emily worked on Scream 2. That was shot here. At Agnes Scott.
That's right.
Decatur.
We've definitely talked about that before. That's cool.
Katie Howard says, having a white Russian and going out to get a new rug and then bowling after that. I know what Katie watched. our oldest of friends, Melinda Bacalow, says, wet, hot American summer, so pretty busy. Lots of shenanigans, maybe some hooking up. Going to be a good day. That'd be a fun movie to be in.
Did you see the series they made out of that for Netflix?
Of course.
It was so good. I thought it really hit the same spirit of the movie.
Yeah.
And felt necessary is maybe the wrong word, but it felt connected.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like an afterthought or some kind of throwaway
thing. No, I love that world. Tara Lee Cha says, Saw. Oh boy. Not much I can do since I'm chained to some pipes in a grimy old bathroom. I've had better days. Oh boy.
No thanks.
Not the movie you want to wake up in. Pete Drummond says, Kiki's Delivery Service, remind me not to board the blimp.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Bad thing happens to the blimp.
All right. Well.
But she saves the day. God. Sorry. That movie's like 30 years old. Apologies.
Is it?
It's from the 80s, I believe.
I don't think. 90s. Why don't I know that movie, Noel?
Oh, you haven't watched Kiki's with your daughter? She'll love it. She's a really badass, powerful young woman character. And it's a different, it's a spin on the witch trope where like witches aren't bad at all. And there's some bad ones, but she's like a good witch who's okay. kind of does this sort of pilgrimage that they do when they leave the house and kind of go out into the world. And it's sort of a coming of age thing.
I'm all over it.
It's peak Miyazaki. And there's a cat that talks. Your daughter will flip. It's lovely.
Well, I'm down with Miyazaki now, so I'm all over it. Let me see here. Emily Newton says, I tell the old man to eat a dick, pack my bags, and take the kid back to Boulder before the snow starts. I thought I heard little girls playing in the hall last night. I must be going nuts. Oh, The Shining.
Told the old man to eat a dick? Is that a line in The Shining?
No, it's not a line.
Oh.
But
okay. But the way that was said with such confidence, it sounded like it was like a quote or something, you know? Like,
no, how does one suck a fuck? Emily is in The Shining as Shelley Duvall and saying, screw you, Jack Nicholson.
Right.
I'm getting out of here. I'm packing my bags and I'm taking my kid out of here before the snowstorm.
Only it's more like...
That's your Shelley Duvall?
That's my Shelley Duvall in that movie. She's got a lot of shrieking. She seems genuinely horrified.
She was. She was hanging on by a thread because of all the takes.
I know. God. You'd think with things like unions, there would be rules for like how many takes you have to do.
Like how much you can abuse an actor?
How much you can abuse an actor. Yeah. I mean, I know that's why they make the big bucks, but also like you hear... Like Bjork and Lars von Trier, like there was real psychological abuse going on there, you know?
Yeah.
Not cool.
Tough stuff. Chris Clifford says, off to fight Schmidt at the Hydra base.
Is that about Schmidt?
Yeah, about Schmidt and Hydra, worlds colliding.
Hail Hydra. No. Is that, wait, so that's from one of the movies or is that the one of the new shows? Who's Schmidt? I don't know. I don't know the Hydra stuff very well.
Hail Hydra, Noel. That's all you need to know.
Hail Hydra, indeed. Did you watch any of the new the Winter Soldier and the Falcon thing?
Not yet. You know, I watched the first couple of WandaVisions a while ago and then stopped. And then Emily said she wanted to watch it. So we're just waiting for a window. And then...
Highly recommend that.
I'm all over that. And
Winter Soldier. It takes a turn. Yeah. The WandaVision was one of my favorite Marvel-y things.
Yeah.
I think it's just very creative and interesting.
Got to do it. Got to do it. Martin Kidd just watched Raya and the Last Dragon. Guess I'm getting turned to stone.
That sounds like a spoiler.
Dude, Ruby pre-ordered that for $30 by accident. Or not by accident, but she very much purposely did it, but she doesn't understand that stuff.
But
I asked for a refund.
Though. Huh? Okay, gotcha. That's how much it is to watch it, I thought.
Yeah, like, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The early bird is like $30, and I was like, dude... I didn't realize that I could set it up to where she can't do that. So now I've done that, but I got a beef with iTunes and Disney Plus because I asked for a refund. And one of the reasons that on the drop down is like child purchased it by, you know, without permission. And so that's what I picked and they denied it. And then I appealed it and wrote out my case and they denied it again. They kept my $30, Noel. So mad at them.
I guess their argument, did they respond to your appeal with the verbal rebuttal?
No, they just said no.
Yeah.
Faceless corporate no.
In their infinite wisdom. I mean, I guess their argument would be like, well, we make these safeguards available and you should have known and put them in place. But I argue they don't make them obvious and you have to kind of dig deep to find them or be faced with a situation where you then have to be like, oh shit, I better figure out, you know, if this is an option. So
I was none too pleased.
I don't doubt it, Chuck. I don't doubt it. I've incurred your wrath.
I told Ruby, I said, this is coming out of your future allowance. When I'm going to remind you when you're 10 or what, when do kids start getting allowances? Do you give your daughter an allowance?
It does not quite manifest itself that way. I'm
you just buy her shit?
I make her do shit, but I'm constantly crediting and debiting her from this invisible ledger
that exists
somewhere in my head.
Okay, that's fair.
If that makes sense. No, she's very helpful. She helps me with cleaning and dishes and all kinds of stuff. She earns her keep.
Yeah, Ruby's got a couple of little chores. She feeds the dogs every day, twice a day, and then we're trying to get her to start picking up after herself a little bit because, you know, kids... they just, that concept is completely lost on them.
Totally.
Stuff is just where you drop it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And apparently, you know, the therapy community says it's okay to let your kid have a messy room because it gives them, like, ownership over their space. And then, you know, and yeah. I found that to be the case. And she gradually has turned her room into sort of a reflection of her personality. And, like, sure. the fact that she, you know, can make it be messy a little bit is empowering. And I'm into that. But then there could come a point where I'll go in there. I'll be like, yo,
you gotta,
yeah. we got to do something about this.
No, I mean, Ruby's room is usually pretty messy, but she will also clean it without being asked sometimes and then come and get us and say, come and look at my room.
Come and look.
That's so, like, so little things sweet. Like that are great.
Oh, I love that.
By the way, breaking news. I know this is going to be late when it comes out, but the Danger Oven just posted that it's old pal Mike Sams's birthday.
Oh, wow.
So I know okay. this is going to come out a week, or I'm sorry, not even that late, next Monday. But here today on Wednesday, the 31st of March, Mike, happy birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday indeed. Wait, and we already talked about this. Wait, who else had a birthday? Someone else had a birthday. My good buddy Harry, who's visiting, it's his birthday coming up on April 4th. So when this comes out, he should be like 70 years old or something. He's like literally my old friend. He's, yeah. I've known him for many years since I was about 13. He used to run a record store in my hometown. And I think he's pushing 65, but doesn't seem a day over 40.
My brother's birthday is, Friday.
Amazing.
Yeah. No April Fool's jokes this year, Noel.
Oh, I know.
God. We don't have an April Fool's episode, unfortunately.
Yeah. People don't like to be tricked.
Like to be tricked. All right. Yeah. Let's wrap this up with Stream This, because I have quite a few things here. Still barreling through 6 feet Under. Enough said.
Where are you at? Season 5-ish?
Season 3.
Okay. Same. We're probably right around the same time.
Arthur Lisa's in the has picture. Just arrived.
Same. Right there. Yeah. Right there with you. Love him. And I almost forgot that he was in it.
I did too for a minute. When he showed up. Oh, man, this season 3 is so painful because Nate and Lisa are married and it's just.
A thing happens in season 3. Isn't that kind of where the thing begins?
Well, just their marriage is just so painful because it's.
Right.
They shouldn't be married. It's not right. Mm-mm. And he's trying to be this thing that he's not. And it's just. Nate's got to be Nate, man. It's very painful.
No, I've for sure. And then something.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Noel, I watched the Coming to America sequel, finally.
Oh, dish, my friend. I've read some hot takes on that one, and I kind of have a feeling I know where you're going to go.
Well, here's my hot take, I was in the perfect mood for it, Emily and I were, and we really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was a very, very lazy remake, the worst kind of remake where you literally just do the same jokes. But you know what? It was a nostalgia bomb. They brought back so much, like they went all the way, which I really appreciate. If they would have done it halfway and just brought back a few of the characters, it would have been super lame. But they really dug deep and went all the way with the nostalgia bomb. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was very lazy. I never want to see it again. But I really had a good time watching it, and I think it had plenty of funny moments. So that's my take.
Okay, got it. I was almost about to click it the other day because I was looking for a feel-good thing, but I watched something else instead. I can't remember what it was.
And then the other two things I'm going to mention, Noel, because we can chat about them, I think, is I did watch the High Score documentary series
mm-hmm.
on your recommendation. Just finished it last night. And I watched the last Blockbuster documentary.
That's next for me. I do want to watch that because I obviously am a total Blockbuster kid. But what did you think of High Score?
Well, I'm going to put both of them in the same bucket because they're kind of similar. They are both nostalgia bombs as well. I really enjoyed both of them, but I will say this. They fit into this kind of category of these newer kind of streaming service documentary series that are – it's almost like a this sounds like I'm being too hard on it, but for things that I enjoyed, but it's almost like the VH1 I Love the 80s documentary style.
You know, I can see that. I will say this, though. I was expecting much more of that with the High Score thing, but they really they dug a little deeper in places. Like there's a whole episode about like this LGBTQ
The gay blade game.
Gay blade, yeah.
I never knew that. It was so cool.
I never knew about it. And like one thing somebody pointed out to me is there's one of the interview subjects who is a trans woman,
mm-hmm.
and they don't make a big thing of it like it's some token, like look at us being so woke. It just comes up organically because she brings it up very, you know, just like matter of factly. And in a less capable hands, I think that would have been much more of like a trotting out their token trans person. But I thought they handled it with a lot of care and respect and the whole thing. I thought they did a good job. I actually wished it would have gone on. I was hoping it was going to get more into like Minecraft. And
there
like
could have been
modern things.
Sure. It could have been twice as long probably. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed them both. I think they were both a little corny at times. But I did enjoy them both. I'll just say that. Last Blockbuster was good, but also there's a tone. And I think the high score narrator, you know, it's just, you know, it's not, I guess it's a documentary, but it's not like serious documentary, you know?
Oh, I'm with you, but I was,
it's like soft serve ice cream.
Exactly. But that's just what I needed. And I was perfectly entertained. And I found myself clicking to the next one and the next one, and the next one.
So oh,
to
me, yeah,
that's a success, you know?
Totally. And it was my childhood basically through college, from Pong to Mortal Kombat, basically. Well, mm-hmm. And then I guess the first person shooters came after that. That was the last episode, right?
It really was. And then they sort of like did the big like, and then everything else.
Right.
You know? the one that I thought was interesting was when it gets into like the Senate hearings around that like full motion video game called Night Trap.
I'd never heard of that game.
I'd never heard of the game. It looked crazy. And it just goes to show how, you know, when there are these like moral panics, it almost always results from ignorance and laziness.
Yeah.
Where they clearly, if they looked at the whole game, they'd realize nobody's getting triggered to murder co-eds by this.
Right.
And the story about how they kept trying to dumb it down and make it less and less and less offensive and scary. And then they picked this one scene where there's this stupid vampire thing with like a, looks like one of those grabber claw things you used to get.
Yeah.
You know, and it just looks ridiculous. And they're like clutching their pearls, acting like it's corrupting the children, which is just absurd.
For a game that no one played.
Yeah.
It's funny that, you know, all the stuff that's happening lately with the cancel culture and that stuff that Ted Cruz shared about, the article he shared about how Gen X has to save us from cancel culture because we're in the middle of the millennials and the boomers. Mm-hmm. And the boomers are saying, Gen X, help us out from cancel culture. And so all these memes are going around that are just fucking fantastic. Emily and I have been dying as Gen Xers, like basically saying, screw you boomers. Like you were the cancel culture. You tried to cancel heavy metal music and video games and, you know, burn books. Like, so fuck you. And all the memes were great. Like for every, one of them was for every boomer out there that hates millennials and millennials that hates boomers, remember there's a Gen Xer that hates you both.
Absolutely. And the Gen Xers are scary. They freak me out, man, in the best possible way. When I say scary, I just mean they're scary smart and they're scary like, you know, woke, and they're gonna fucking own the world in a really interesting way and shape it. You know, I feel good about Gen X.
Yeah, that's really pretty funny. We were the latchkey really kids, man. Our parents weren't watching.
Gen Z is who I'm talking about. Gen X is cool too, but Gen Z, who is the new kind of Gen X,
is that your like daughter?
Yeah, I think so. But like just her and her type, like they just have a certain awareness and they're living through very bleak times and they're having to kind of adapt. And I think it's just going to give them some serious power.
Yeah, I thought you were misspeaking because Gen X is, we're the Ferris Buellers. We're very
lazy. That's what I mean.
We don't care.
I was misspeaking. Thank you, Chuck.
So have you been streaming anything, Noel?
Lots, yeah. What did I stream? I streamed the I'm sticking with it. The Snyder Cut, which I thought was fine. Way too much slow-mo, a little too long, but it's good. It tells the story well. I think Ben Affleck's Batman looks ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's all boxy and like fat Batman, and just like he always looks confused. Like, huh? Oh, he's walked into. He's like lost John Travolta every time he walks into a scene, kind of. I really, really dig this anime series called Doro Hidoro that's on Netflix. That's like the really psychedelic kind of like almost like if Alejandro Jodorowsky made an anime with like, you know, the guy that did Akira or something.
Right.
It's very, very trippy. It's this world inhabited by sorcerers and bounty hunters, and the sorcerers all have these kind of superpowers, single power, like, but one of them's power is to turn people into mushrooms, and he then eats them.
Is
and
it spoopy?
It gets violent, and it's definitely got some spooky qualities, but it always reels it in with some humor. And there's also, it's all about food. All the characters are always hungry, and they're always making these elaborate, like, Japanese dishes, like noodles and gyoza and things like that. And so there's all these really crazy beauty shots of food, which is also a thing in Miyazaki films. But highly recommend that. What else? Yeah, WandaVision I loved. Finished that. Really, really loved it. Thought it was really warm, heartfelt, and creative, and just like really made me feel the feels.
Yeah, so I got to do it.
That's all I got for now.
All right, Noel. Well, let's wrap it up and spank it on the bottom and get this one out the door, out of the oven, and onto the table and onto the plates where people can consume it and then poop it out.
Wow. Wow, Chuck. That was a whole imagistic trajectory, journey you took us on. I love it.
All right, thanks everyone. We'll see you next week.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.